from 5,000 feet in Fort Davis to 3 feet in Jamaica Bay, where liberty's threatened in Texas. Count on Pratt on Texas to sound the alarm. Here's your host, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas post-Saturday election. By the way, it is, my friends, as always, a great day to be a Texan. Don't forget, you miss part of the show, miss a day, you can go pick it up as a podcast free of charge at PrattonTexas.com. Our Lone Star Story of the Day. By the way, our Lone Star Story of the Day is sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, good friends of the show. They provide the best in service in DOT business and personal drug and alcohol testing since 1995. They'll set up and make sure your program is compliant with the law and works. AlliedCompliance.com. Our Lone Star Story is... well, the big story is the story you do not see in the press after Saturday's elections in Texas. Media were ready. That's right. The media were ready. But voters left them high and dry. That played out from Texas 6, the congressional race, to Austin, to Lubbock, and across the state. Also, we've got other news in the political stack and some business news today related to First Cafeterias, Alderson Auto Group out of Lubbock, and Exxon, and more. The Texas rebound continues, as demonstrated in sales tax returns. They're up, and the percentages, you know, look real big because they were so awfully down last year. However, Glenn Hager, our comptroller, announced this afternoon that he has revised the biennial revenue estimate for the legislature, including on the current year receipts that'll end in the end of August, and increase the amount of money free for the legislature to spend. I don't really like that. It's good to see that we can do that. I don't think they need any more to spend. But that's the big announcement today. In fact, here is Glenn Hager from just a little while ago this afternoon.
It's clear that economic activity has picked up in Texas, and I'm revising upward my forecast of revenue available for general purpose spending by the 87th legislature. Revisions to estimated revenue collections in the current fiscal year, along with revised projections of general revenue obligations for the Foundation School Program, mean we now project a positive ending balance for the 22-21 biennium of $725 million, a substantial improvement from the $946 million shortfall we projected in January. That improvement, combined with higher projected revenue collections in 2022-23, result in a $115.65 billion available for 22-23 biennium, an increase of $3.12 billion from the January BRE.
So there you have it, Glenn Hager, our comptroller, telling us that he's revised the revenue estimate to $1.67 billion more than his January estimate for this current fiscal year, 21, and has increased the biennial revenue estimate to up $3.12 billion. That's billion with a B for general purpose spending allowed by the legislature. Watch the scramble in the Capitol to get some of that money to people's pet projects. But anyway, it's a good thing economically. It's a bad thing politically because they get more money, they just spend more money. So that issued this afternoon by Glenn Hager. Well, an Amber Alert was issued for a boy this weekend, and that we see a lot of those, sadly. But this happens, it's connected to a shooting that happened outside of, Sunday at 4 o'clock outside a shortstop store in the Burton shortstop store, say that a lot, in Washington County. And a victim of the shooting was flown to a hospital in Bryan. The missing boy's about 3 feet tall, brown hair, brown eyes, wearing a Spider-Man sweatshirt. They're looking for one Joshua Crowley, 36, in relation to the abduction. And this guy was driving a 2011, it says Mazda MZ3. I'm not sure that's right, but anyway. License plate 737763C, a Texas plate. Looking for that. A judgment reversed against former Abilene CPS worker convicted in a fatal child abuse case, the Klafke case there. KRBC reporting that the appeals court that sits in Eastland, the 11th Court of Appeals, said that there was an error in judgment and recommended she be acquitted. She wasn't related to the child abuse. This was a tampering with evidence charge. Her lawyers argued, wait a minute, you know, she may have kept the photograph, which was taken by a police detective, from police, but she couldn't have hidden it from police because They apparently she told the investigator to delete it, but the point is she didn't conceal it because it was in police custody the entire time, so she did not have control of that photograph. And then a story, both Lubbock and Abilene. Abilene man jailed for intoxicated manslaughter after hitting and killing a Lubbock man with his vehicle. This took place on Saturday, on Communist May Day. And a driver called, said he struck a person, thought he struck a person on the Winters Freeway near Southwest Drive. They got there, found a man dead. It was 24-year-old Mark Burrow of Lubbock. And the driver was 30-year-old Nicholas Mills of Abilene, or so say police. He was arrested on charges of second-degree felony, intoxicated manslaughter, and second-degree failure to stop and render aid. Investigations going on. That from KRBC. And today in Texas history, this is the day that the great famous Texan who went by the name Diavolo, his name was Robert Vandervoort from Corpus Christi, in 1903, May 3rd. He did his famed, all over the world, famed loop-the-loop bicycle stunt for King Edward VII at a command performance in London. Traveled all over the U.S. and Europe under the stage name Diavolo. His career was, he didn't die doing the loop-the-loop in the bicycle. I mean, it's a big loop. He died in 1906 when a railway car in which he was sleeping overturned near Albany, New York. By the way, in 1968 in Texas history, St. Luke's Hospital, Everett Thomas at St. Luke's in Houston received the first heart transplant by Denton Cooley. And in 1999, 49 people were killed in a series of tornadoes hit Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, Texas, and South Dakota. And in 2015, I remember covering all this on the air. In Garland, two men shot at and wounded a security officer outside the Curtis Colwell Center there, Garland ISD. He's a Colwell, former Lubbock ISD superintendent, and then he'd been in Garland. They were then killed by that sharp-minded and quick Garland police officer. That was the first annual Muhammad art exhibit and contest. These were Muslim radical Islamic fanatics there to kill somebody. And they didn't get away with it, and they themselves lost their lives. We've a lot of news to get to, but one thing I forgot to tell you back when I was covering the biennial revenue estimate being revised upward significantly by the comptroller today was the sales tax revenue report for April is out today too, and it was $3.4 billion. That's 31.4% more than April of 2020. Now, before you think, oh my gosh, we're rolling it. No. It's because we were in lockdown in April of 2020, so the percentage is big. But it was strong in collection, the comptroller said, even compared to April of 2019, it's up. Of course, the state's bigger. He said, spurred by a number of factors, April state sales tax collections increased sharply from a year ago. Collections from all major sectors other than mining and construction rose significantly, led by receipts from restaurants and retailers. Total sales tax revenue for the 3 months ending April 21 is up 4.5% compared to the same time a year ago. Again, ladies and gentlemen, the big story, the Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by our friends at Allied Compliance, who give you the best in service and DOT, business and personal drug and alcohol testing since 1995. The big story, the Lone Star story, is the story you're not seeing in the press outlets, national and state, Sunday and today. The media were ready, but voters left them high and dry. That played out from Austin to Lubbock to Texas 6 and the Fort Worth area, the big congressional runoff. And why don't we start with a couple of little examples. Then when we get back in the next segment, I'll go into the detail on some of these big issues. Coryell County voters rejected a $30 million bond issue for a new jail. I mean, they trounced it. 73% said no out of Gatesville. KWTX reporting, so, you know, nobody ready for the big spending there. And San Antonio had a major proposition to end collective bargaining by the police. Details on that and more ahead on Pratt on Texas.
More from the True Texan Studio after this.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life Health Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
You've heard about their politics all day. Now it's time for ours. It's Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. The big story out of San Antonio again is that, well, one headline, a wake-up call for the union. Close race on Prop B signals need to address discipline and contract, experts say. But 51% of voters in liberal San Antonio voted down the deal to end collective bargaining with the police. I'm against collective bargaining on totally separate grounds from anything that was involved in this case. But nevertheless, all the big liberals, Castro brothers, all of them, they all endorsed doing this. This was all the mayor, and he won re-election handily, that lefty Nirenberg. But voters said no. They sided with cops. And the stories on this, particularly the big one in the Express News in San Antonio by Emily Eaton, points out, I mean, a huge section that all this is about the George Floyd stuff and kind of the anti-police thing. And there's some legitimate points there about discipline and cops not actually being put off the job for very long when something bad's gone wrong in San Antonio. But this failed. This failed. The voters narrowly went with the pro-police. So again, this is why it's the big story, the Lone Star story of the day. What happened, that the story is the stories you're not reading. You know, over in Austin, in Lubbock, and in Texas 6 and Tarrant County area, voters went, generally speaking, the anti-radical Democrat, the anti-radical leftist position, which is now the mainstream position of the Democratic Party on issues. Let's talk about Texas 6 for a moment. Wright and LZ in a runoff for that congressional seat. Susan Wright, who was endorsed by Trump in the last week or so, and State Rep Jake LZ are headed to a runoff. They finished first and second. Now, there were a lot of people, 23 candidates in this race. Elsie's a first-term state rep from Waxahachie in Ellis County, ran second to Ron Wright in the 2018 GOP primary for Texas 6. And, of course, Mr. Wright, Susan's husband, late husband, passed away and from illness. But Elsie came in second again in the race with 13.85% of the vote. He only pulled the runoff by 354 votes over a Democrat. But the point is, no Democrat made the runoff in that, and there was hopes from the Democrats, and that means the media, that they would. Now, what am I meaning by the story they couldn't write? Well, they began to sow the seeds for the press coverage last week. The Associated Press wrote a national story about this race. Here was their headline. Donald Trump backs, that's Gromer Jefferson. Oh, here's the AP headline last week. Kinzinger goes to Texas in search of anti-Trump Republicans. Adam Kinzinger has come to Texas to hunt unicorns. This was a national story from the AP. Illinois congressman, this is that extreme anti-Trump Illinois congressman. You know, he's right there with a few of those other people like Liz Cheney and Mitt Romney, who got booed at the Utah State GOP convention, which is sort of appropriate. I mean, he's their senator now. He didn't even grow up there. He grew up in Michigan, where his dad was a pro-union liberal in the auto business and then made his career in Massachusetts and was governor there. Somehow now he's in Utah. And I read one piece saying, well, it's the Mormon connection. But so, I mean, why does this give him carte blanche in Utah? Well, they're not happy with him now. So anyway, Kinzinger's this guy trying to build a big coalition for fundraising to go against everybody who didn't want to impeach Trump or is pro-Trump. He's a former Air Force pilot, flew missions in Iraq and Afghanistan. He plays that up all the way. In this big AP story, and I mean, it was a big major story run before Saturday's election. I think it was run on Friday or Thursday. Kinzinger's hope lies in Wood, another fresh-faced combat veteran who's fighting to stand out in the field of 23. If none of the candidates on Saturday's ballot earns 50% of the vote, the top two will compete in a runoff election later in the spring. And then you go further. Yet Wood has drawn financial and moral support from a handful of other Trump critics in Congress, including Liz Cheney, David Velado, Peter Meyer of Michigan. Like Kinzinger, all three voted to impeach Trump. Kinzinger said he was drawn to Wood by the 34-year-old Marine infantry officer's political courage. Wood's been booed at Republican campaign events for saying the GOP's devolved into a cult of personality. First line of campaign literature he hands to voters declares the Republican Party's lost its way. In an interview, Wood, who earned two Purple Hearts for his service in Afghanistan and now runs a small business, compared Trump to a less intelligent, lazy, and disorganized autocrat like Roman Emperor Julius Caesar. He warned that freedom itself is at risk if Trump and what he stands for aren't soundly rejected. "I don't want to go to Congress if I have to lick Donald Trump's boots to get there," he said. Well, don't worry, you're not going there. This was a major setup piece, and they were prepared if he performed very high, even if he just barely missed the runoff between the other two political operatives, you would be seeing a lot of stories about Trump waning even in red, deeply red Texas. Well, it didn't turn out that way. And then you had another character in this race, Rodimer. This is a guy, Big Dan Rodimer. He's a big Second Amendment guy, carries a gun around on the deal, shows it in the ads, anti-government. But, you know, this guy, I think, was he like a wrestler or something? He just ran for Congress in Nevada in the 2020 election, then came out here. I didn't expect him to do well, but he did go, oh, man, he was going to hold an assault rifle and vowed to strip power from Biden and Pelosi in his last ad. He didn't go anywhere either. Donald Trump backed Susan Wright, who isn't just the typical, I don't like it when the spouses, all of a sudden they get to do the term and replace the husband. But Susan Wright is a conservative activist on her own and has been very active for years, even has been on the state Republican Executive Committee. Well, she came out on top and Trump put her there because it separated a little bit from the polling in the last few days after Trump's announcement. She came out at 19.21% of these 23 on the ballot to be first place. Second place, Jake Elzey, the state rep who just got elected in the last election, came in at 13.85. There was some good separation there, and the Trump endorsement played a role. Now, where did this Rodimer guy that came here to run with the always holding the rifle, they called it an assault rifle, it wasn't, but the rifle in the ads, he got 2.66% of the vote. Now, where did the anti-Trump combat veteran, the Republican Party's lost his way guy go? Michael Wood. He got 2,503 votes out of 78,374. In other words, he got 3.19%. There are a bunch of other people that scored more than him. John Anthony Castro at 5.5%, Lydia Bean 3.73%. Tammy Allison, 5.41, Brian Harrison, 10.81, Sean Laster, 8.89, Sanchez, this Democrat, 13.39%. So the big unicorn, the guy that's anti-Trump, Michael Wood, combat veteran, I mean, the perfect run for office, you know, resume for the mailer cards and the ads, 3.19%. Second place was 13.85. First place, Susan Wright, 19.21. Do you understand what I'm telling you now? The setup story was out there nationally in AP, all about this Wood guy and how Kinzinger's betting on a big win or a really great showing. Oh, to show that this Trump, you know, people really don't like Trump. Bull, they do. So there you have it. And Donald Trump came in and endorsed Susan Wright and, oh, by the way, one of the Dallas Morning News stories, typical disingenuous stuff last week about Susan Wright at the end. Ron Wright, who was in 2020 elected in his second term, died in February after contracting COVID-19. No, he didn't. Yeah, it's another one of these things where he was battling serious cancer. He didn't die from COVID-19. It's like saying if he had a cold, he died from the cold. Anyway, Susan Wright, they'll head to a runoff, Elzey and Wright, and Elzey, I think, made it easy for Trump to come in for Wright, because I think he's made some disparaging comments, too. But that's the point, and we've got more to talk about from Saturday's election. The media didn't get the stories they want, even in Austin, back in a moment.
Pratt on Texas continues after this.
I've told you about my wonderful experience with Dr. Sylvia Zuniga in dental care in Costa Rica. Not only was it among the most positive experiences and best dental work I've experienced, my trip to Costa Rica, one of the hottest tourist destinations on the planet, included a top hotel for a week, fancy dinners, airfare for both Isabel and me, and even a private driver. And the entire bill, total spending, was less than half of the best quote I got at home, a quote that was for much less dental work than I obtained from Dr. Zuniga. A couple from Lubbock now knows what I mean. They wrote to say, "We used your suggestion to go to Sylvia in Costa Rica. She was wonderful. Instead of $7,400, I spent $1,640, and not only for my dental work, but for my husband's too. It was a refreshing adventure, and she guided us in things to do. Thank you for letting listeners know." If you have big dental needs and challenges, learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and dental care by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. See Sylvia's beautiful face and click the banner at my website, prattontexas.com.
Native Texan or just got here as soon as you could. Welcome to Pratt on Texas. Here's your host, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back. So let's head down to that little town south of Round Rock, Texas, Austin. "We're not going to put up with insane policies that make life worse." That was a quote in a headline. "Austin, Texas approves prop targeting homelessness." This Hank Berrien at the Daily Wire on Saturday in a vote that was nowhere near as close as had been predicted. The voters in Austin approved Proposition B, which prohibits public camping. Well, it puts it back in force, the public camping ban that had been in the city ordinances for a long time that this bunch of lefty crazies that run the city took out. 57% of voters voted to put the camping ban back in place, and only 42% opposed it. Save Austin Now, really run heavily, co-founded by Mac McCoviak, Travis County GOP chairman, and others, did great work. They raised a lot of money to get the message out there. You only have one Republican on the city council in Austin. The rest of it, it's 10 Democrats and a single Republican. You know, and you had the leftist in it, Ben and Jerry's ice cream company that's actually, I think, now owned by some big multinational. They even were sending out stuff saying, "We'll never police our way out of the homelessness crisis, and Prop B would take Austin backwards. Vote no." So you had the typical woke corporations. Of course, Ben and Jerry's has always been a bunch of lefties who, lefty socialists who, of course, have made themselves extraordinarily wealthy and hold on to all that wealth and don't give it away. It's just so funny what people fall for. They were all in on this. So back in 2019, the mayor and city council removed the laws that banned camping in parks and sidewalks, highways, trails, and deregulated camping and panhandling. And, oh, it's going to be tough. They didn't get anything done. You know, even the hometown liberal newspaper's headline, "In rebuke of city's homelessness policies, Austin voters bring back homeless camping ban." Now, what was I saying? Somewhat critical of Governor Abbott and others. I was never critical for them. I said, use the DPS to police the capital area, the region that's the capital. We all have a stake in that. But I think it's awful to go in there in these cities and then remember all the stuff about the state taking over their policing and everything. People need to live with the policies they enact. You know, if they're still happy with their massive tax things down there, and they, you know, most of them have moved out to the other cities that can't afford it and they've ruined them. But if they're still happy with their high tax rate, fine, let them pay it in Austin. But people need to live with the consequences of their politics. Otherwise, they never see anything to contradict their believed efficacy of those policies. And, you know, the Senate and House are still going forward with bills on this stuff targeted at Austin. Fine. But, this, you know, when people have to live with it and it goes really bad, they make other choices. And they did. So even in Austin, the press did not get the story it wanted. Oh, people reject that McCoviak, these Republicans and everybody down there, oh, they reject them. Well, you know, this thing passed 57.74, 42.3 against. And I had some, here was the breakdown. According to Save Austin Now's polling, 41% of Democrats voted in favor of it. 94% of Republicans voted yes. 86% of unaffiliated voters, those independents, voted for it. They didn't get a majority of Democrats. They got 41%. That was an early vote survey of 7,500 voters. So they didn't get the story they wanted. when you have to live with this stuff and then you're given a clear choice. And remember, this isn't like California with asking people to look back 25 years to the way it used to be or 40 years to the way it used to be. This is 2019. People in Austin have seen this in a short amount of time balloon up into just an awful, disastrous situation. So the press didn't even get their story there. The anti-Trump guy is just a dog in the 23-person race in Texas 6. You got some big bond issues, not schools they tend to always pass, but, you know, people didn't want to build a new jail. People in San Antonio, liberal San Antonio, all the big celebrity libs came in on that, by the way, asking people to vote for the deal to get rid of the police protective collective bargaining, and that was a deal to punish police. It was sold that way, and it was a narrow vote. But the pro-police side won, even in liberal San Antonio. Then that brings us to Lubbock, and I want to say something, just a personal comment. I have been so upset with the direction Lubbock's been heading for years, I have seriously looked at moving outside the city limits. I just don't want to be part of a big spending liberal city. I want a city that's well-run. I'm not against all spending that some of the conservatives are. I mean, it just depends what it is. There are legitimate roles of government. I want to spend money on the things that government's supposed to do first and do it well, do it efficiently and effectively. Be proud of that before we worry about all the other crap that people want done with other people's money. But I'll tell you, this vote on Saturday, praise God, the people of Lubbock stood up for what's right, remembering that God's law always trumps man's assertion of law, always. Lubbock voted to ban abortion. The AP is setting up likely legal fight, maybe. Planned Parenthood's out saying, oh, we're providing them. Okay. But it was a big 62.5% voted for the ordinance. Planned Parenthood, they put out a statement, as a trusted resource, trusted to murder babies, trusted resource for anyone in Lubbock and the surrounding communities for essential health care services. They don't give essential health care services. They do abortions and a handful of tests, said Sarah Wheat. Boy, what a great name for somebody who's going to experience firsthand God's sorting of the wheat from the chaff. That's right. She's going to be on the chaff side. She's their chief external affairs officer for Planned Parenthood of Greater Texas, which ought to be just be named Baby Murderers of Greater Texas. We want Lubbock residents to know our doors are open. We'll continue to advocate for our patients no matter what. They don't advocate for the babies. They murder the babies. What do you mean advocate for your patients? You advocate for the concept that it's okay to murder a human being in the womb for the convenience of the adults. Dan Pope, the mayor in Lubbock, said, oh, we'll become the next sanctuary city. We'll be working to add it to the ordinance and get it all done. He was against this thing the whole time and voted against it. He still wants, he and his buddy so want to be state senator and state rep. Before you know it, they'll have been original backers of this deal. Anyway, this is, you got this Richard Rosen, the law professor at Texas Tech, that said some what I believe to be stupid things last week, quoted in the mudslide as saying, if a private action is brought first, then the court deems the ordinance to be unconstitutional, then that's it. Oh, no, you have appeals. And the whole purpose, you cannot review Roe v. Wade by the Supreme Court. You know, there are a lot of liberals that were pro-abortion that back in the day still admitted Roe v. Wade was a travesty to the Constitution. It's the court just creating something in there that the voters did not put in it in the form of a constitutional amendment and in creating law at the same time. You can't get back there unless you have court challenges and you need the right kind of case. And that's why we have to attack this at every level. Will it bring some lawsuits? I sure hope it does. It's sort of the point. First of all, it's right to ban abortions in Lubbock, and if they keep doing it, whatever. They'll face the ultimate judge. But you can't. All these people will bring lawsuits. Yes. That's what you do when you're fighting for right. Would you not have supported the lawsuits by all the black men and women who got on buses across the South that were segregated buses and sat in the whites-only part so they could challenge it under the Civil Rights Act and challenge it in the courts? Are you against that too? God, some of these people are so shallow. It said in the AJ article, the Lubbock City Council said this isn't a local issue. Tell that to the babies murdered, councilmen and women. Because tell them it's not local. So the press didn't get what they wanted, my friends. It's the stories you're not seeing in yesterday's papers, the Sunday papers, and today across Texas. Because people voted the anti-leftist way in most cases. Back in a moment.
It's the talk of Texas. Pratt on Texas.
If providing health insurance for yourself or your employees is costing more than you can afford, listen closely to this message.
I think one of the challenges that all small business owners are facing today is while they may be less than 50 employees, they're still competing with the big box companies that have full-blown benefit plans.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
And with the price almost reaching the point of unaffordability, employers are looking for solutions. And my out-of-the-box thinking is providing a solution. We enrolled a local company, and we were able to save that employer one-third of his budget, which was equal to a little over $100,000 that he was paying prior to working with my agency.
Life Health Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
Some claim to cover Texas. Here's a man who proves his claim daily. It's your Texas political swami, Robert Pratt, with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I've got some items out of the economic business stack I want to get to right now. One of them's kind of close to my heart, and that's about Furs Cafeterias being where they were founded in Lubbock and loved them ever since I was a child. I actually still like them a lot, and the one that was left is closed for now. It says it'll be opening soon. Well, what's been going on? Can't find the story in the local press where they're supposed to cover this stuff. No, just nothing stories. But all I had to do was go to National Restaurant News, NRN.com. Mark Hamster had it. Parent of Ryan's, Furs, Hometown Buffet, and other chains files bankruptcy. That's right, parent company of Furs, Fresh Buffet, Ryan's, Old Country Buffet, Hometown Buffet, and other concepts filed for Chapter 11 this last week. San Antonio-based Fresh Acquisitions listed assets between $1 to $10 million, liabilities $10 to $50 million, according to their filing. Vita Nova Brands manages their restaurants through an agreement. They're providing a debtor in possession loan, so they know they can be profitable because they operate them. They're a loan of $3.5 million. They're going to focus on operating Tahoe Joe's and Furs all-you-can-eat marketplace banners going forward. That's the focus. That's good news for Lubbock people and people that still like going to that kind of place. There are currently six Tahoe Joe's operating today, a spokeswoman for Vita Nova Brands told Nation's Restaurant News. The company plans to reopen as many Furs as possible, contingent upon pandemic restrictions and landlord negotiations. Fate of the other banners, she said, is up to the court. So that's good news. They're going to push the Furs and their, what was that other one, Tahoe Joe's. They run a bunch of other stuff. Vita Nova manages store-level operations for a lot of companies, to other companies, to GoKitchens.com, Zio's Italian Kitchen, Sushi, Tahoe Joe's Steakhouse, Brandon Furs, All You Can Eat Marketplace. And there was another thing about Lubbock in here. Dynamic Foods was that giant facility that was created to produce Furs food at its heyday and truck it all over and supply restaurants. And it's right over by the world's largest cotton oil mill on 34th Street, east of Avenue A. In the bankruptcy filing, Fresh Acquisitions said its largest unsecured creditor is supplier Dynamic Foods of Lubbock, which is owed about $4 million. And so all this is involved in this, but it's good to know that they plan on reopening them under bankruptcy reorganization on the Furs. Another big story out of Lubbock, and I guess out of San Antonio and South Texas, Cavender Auto Group. It's a family-owned auto group. It's not Group One or one of these giant corporations. They've been selling and servicing cars and trucks in San Antonio and South Texas for over 80 years. They're a big part of South Texas. They have bought Lubbock's Alderson Auto Group, owned by the Alderson family. No surprise they sold out. When the kids just want to go to Dallas and be rich kids and play around, you know, that's what you get. David Alderson told the employees today that they're announcing they're being sold to the Cavender family of dealerships. Stephen Cavender and Rick Cavender and David Alderson will be meeting face-to-face with employees, I guess, in Lubbock, and then in today, this morning, and then at their Midland property. So Alderson's locations in Lubbock and Midland, the Cadillac, BMW, Mercedes-Benz, Lexus, Audi, all these things being sold to the Cavender Auto Group, Auto Family. That big news out there today. Also, ExxonMobil's locked out workers. It's in the third day today from a plant in Beaumont. The union won't come to terms, so they've locked them out. And two Carnival cruise ships return to Galveston for the first time in a year as they're trying to get ready to go sailing again. We don't know when those cruises will resume, but they're already getting them ready, and that's good news. Now, let's slip back into our political news stack and the nastiness of Democrats. A one-story Democrat, I don't think much of her. They wrote in the leftist propaganda outlet Texas Signal, in a surprise move, Carol Donovan, the chairwoman of the Dallas County Democratic Party, announced she was resigning, been party leader since 2015. She mentioned her family as the reason for departure. Okay, they tend to say that. So the Dallas County Democrat liberal chairwoman's out. Abbott demands, talking about Governor Abbott, this is a headline nationally in Washington, D.C., in the Washington Examiner, a story by Emma Colton. Abbott demands Texas Democratic Party officials step down following disgusting racial slur against Tim Scott. Now, the Democrats often make up things that are racial slurs, but when you get them when you really get a chance to see it, you understand why they are descended of a party that did back slavery. And did back and created and enforced segregation. And in Texas, had their own whites-only primary. Because they really are just nasty. So Governor Abbott called on an official in his state to step down after these slurs regarding Senator Tim Scott, who gave the anti-Biden, the rebuttal for that State of the Country address the other day. This is disgusting, hateful, and completely unacceptable. O'Connor must apologize to Senator Tim Scott and step down immediately, Abbott said. He was responding to a since-deleted Facebook post from Lamar County Democratic Party Chairman Gary O'Connor that called Scott an Oreo for following the Republican rebuttal to Joe Biden's address to Congress. Of course, if you don't know, Oreo, it's just like coconut. It means black on the outside and acts like a white person on the inside. They use that term coconut against people, too. It's typical of the left, all their nasty slurs. I had hoped that Scott might show some common sense, but it seems clear he's little more than an Oreo with no real principles, the Post read. That's the chairman of the Democratic Party in Lamar County. O'Connor's faced calls from other leaders to step down, including our good friend Congressman Pat Fallon, who said, Gary O'Connor's comment against Senator Tim Scott's abhorrent, insulting, and unforgivable. Well, nothing's unforgivable, at least it shouldn't be. Both he and the entire Lamar County Democratic Party should be ashamed of this racist behavior. This kind of behavior is not tolerable in Texas, the United States, or any political party, he added. Comment comes after the slur Uncle Tim, instead of Uncle Tom, trended on Twitter to disparage Scott. That's the left. They're the racists. You must hold every leftist shibboleth, and if you don't hold every shibboleth they have, every specific identity piece on your resume, if you don't agree with them on stuff and hold their view, you're anathema. And they treat you like a non-human while they run around talking about being concerned with people and caring about people and being compassionate and inclusive. The speech, Scott said, hear me clearly, America's not a racist country, and he spoke in defense of Georgia's election integrity law, which is panned by liberals, of course. I'm an African-American who's voted in the South all my life. I take voting rights personally. Republicans support making it easier to vote and harder to cheat. And that O'Connor guy in Lamar County hadn't responded to the Washington Examiner's request for comment, I'm sure. And then, of course, it got worse. MSNBC host Tiffany Cross trashed Tim Scott on his monologue Saturday, saying he's thirsty for white approval. Said he could be she claimed Scott represents the few black Americans who could be classified as, quote, sleepy, slow-witted sufferers of Stockholm Syndrome, and suggested if the senator had ever been a slave, he would have been among those who Harriet Tubman left behind. Hey, Cross there on MSNBC. You know, slavery was backed by the Democratic Party, not just in the South, but in the North. The Democratic Party in the North didn't stop backing it until post-World War II in big numbers. Talking about their votes in Congress and everything. I mean, she just goes nasty. It gets nastier and nastier. And this is how people are treated. She calls him a token. There you go. Oh, and by the way, and I don't know if y'all saw it, that Biden last week, I never had time to get to it, nominated Gina Ortiz Jones, the veteran, military veteran who ran in Texas 23 as the Democrat and lost. She's a, you know, out lesbian. So I've seen this story in a bunch of the homosexual media outlets all praising this. She's going to be nominated to be U.S. Air Force Undersecretary. And following Dan Huberty's DWI arrest that we talked about last week, Dulcifino, a Republican, Anthony Dulcifino's confirmed he's filed a treasurer's report and he's planning to run against him. That's good because he's a real conservative. I'd love to see that in Houston in HD 127 in northeastern Harris County. All right, my friends, long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God continue to bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.